trying.
You can't work while we're doing this. You know that, right?
I did.
Off the clock.
I did get like, we have 10 minutes to approve this. Are you around at 10:30 to approve this t-shirt that we're going to print like 30,000 of? And then they didn't talk to me at 10:30, so I'm assuming I'm going to get this like panic. Anyways, I should turn my notifications on.
Do you approve?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No. Like it's on the press.
You can leave it on.
No. Yeah.
No, that's good information.
You can learn in real time.
Because young designers will listen to this. And well, first of all, I'm affirmed by hearing you say that because that feels like it's my life. And because I'm a last minute person, I feel like it's all me being crazy. But sometimes people do send things for approval. And like, we need it right now. It's got to be decided.
And it's always like, right. What is the, like, you know. I don't even know what the point. I feel like everyone lies to me about deadlines. Like, we're going to tell her it's Tuesday, but it's actually 3 months from now. But we just need her to have like an absolute panic attack on Tuesday.
The guy that our joint boss really is like a get things done way ahead person. So things do tend to feel like urgent in a way that's scary, but I still get things done. Like, this is giving me anxiety. But anyway, let's talk about you. I'm not talking about me in design anymore.
Well, it sounds like self-tapes, though. It's like the same. Like, you get an email.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a callback, or just booking something. I'll hear so many stories of people waiting to hear if they booked a role, and then they get it, and they're like, can you be on a plane to L.A. tomorrow at 5?
What?
How? Who can adapt to this lifestyle?
No pressure, but what about that story you were talking about not knowing what you were going to do, check in about? And then what about that story about, does it give you anxiety to even say
no,
it?
I got what they call is an avail check on an exciting project that would definitely be like the biggest thing I've done so far.
Like signed an NDA and
I haven't signed anything, but I'm nervous to even, I don't know the rules. But if I was going to get pinned, then that's the next step.
Pinned?
Just still not booking. You just get pinned, which means they're saying block these dates off, but there's still a chance that who knows what could happen and it could fall through. So I haven't gotten anything past the avail check, but I feel like, I don't know. I don't know when I would hear something
Is it reaffirming for you to have something that feels like progress?
100%.
Yeah. Like the avail check is fucking awesome.
Well, that's, I feel like, one of the, if you are going to play the long game of wanting to do, I don't even think just with acting, with anything, is you have to find all of the little wins. There's so many little things that matter. So just getting an audition matters because it means that someone has seen your picture or read your resume or just thought, yeah, let's see what this person for this role. So that's already giving you eyes on your profile. And then what I'll tell myself is like, even with the audition, even if I don't book it, even if no one sees it beyond my agent is still seeing me do something that she maybe hasn't seen me do before. So that's giving her more awareness of like, oh, Joy can do that. Okay. I can submit her for these other things too, maybe.
Yeah. And like, she didn't embarrass herself in this room.
Right.
With these people.
Yeah. So even now, the last thing I heard was even just the casting director for this seeing my tape is great. But now I know that my tape's being sent off to the studio for studio approval. So then you're like, well, who's in that room or who's watching? What are the new eyes that are watching this tape? And it was just the hardest audition I've had to do and combined with the mom circumstances that I was in. So it felt really validating to be like, okay, that afternoon that I put my time into this, that was really hard and I was freaking out.
Worth it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So we shall see.
I'm always afraid to talk about stuff like that when it's not like, when it's just in the ether and it's a possibility.
I know, because you don't want to.
I don't want to like say it. Those words.
I know. What's funny though with this one, I actually like sat down and journaled and wrote after I imagined what it would be like getting the phone call from my agent that I booked it. I imagined figuring out childcare and like booking my flight. I imagined being there. Like I let myself walk through the whole dream, like in an ideal world, if this worked out, what would that look like? Because I've started to realize, what's the downside, really? Like, I get the experience of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't happen, then I still got that experience. And then the thing is, I feel like I've realized when it does happen, it's so surreal, almost like having a kid, almost like childbirth or whatever. It's almost too big while it's happening to feel those feelings. So I'm like, yeah, so then I end up not getting to feel them at all, even if I get the thing.
Right.
Wait, whenever you do the thinking through it thing, you don't get to feel them?
Well, like just the imagining.
Well, like you get to feel it when you imagine it.
Right. The emotion for me.
And you might not feel it if you really get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I'm going to be anxious. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be like wanting to do a good job. I'm going to be, it's going to feel surreal.
It's so hard to grounded. Like appreciate a big thing.
While it's when it actually happens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've started to go, oh, I can imagine it and I can get emotional and feel all the things. And then that way I've allowed space to feel those things. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to feel like if it does happen and then it's over and I can be like, but I feel like I didn't appreciate all the things while it was happening.
Yeah.
So I just started to do it beforehand.
That's manifesting, right?
Right.
I think you might have just described
manifesting. Bonus is like maybe you'll manifest the thing happening in the first place.
Are you familiar with My Human Design, which I'm not allowed to look at anymore, but I just get like too obsessed with it. But I've done yours, and I feel like yours was like you're a manifesting generator maybe, or maybe even just a manifester. Like you have that power more than other types.
Right, if I just actually... Do something.
But you like don't let yourself do it.
Right.
Ooh. So you've unlocked a superpower. You will be booking this project.
Let's do it. All right. We spent way too much time on that.
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm manifesting that we spent way too much time on that.
Well, we did rush right in here, and I did not turn off the air conditioning or the chime.
I don't hear either of them yet, so okay. I don't care.
Okay, just saying. You heard her say it. She doesn't care.
I did. You heard her say it.
She told me to leave my notifications on, too, so.
Yeah, I did.
It's going to be a crazy day.
This is going to be a wild ride.
Hey, Mackenzie.
Hey, Joy.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you guys?
Okay, I wrote it last week. And I didn't go back to look at it. So could be, here we go. Our guest today is what's become old hat. Sometimes I write in a way that is really for not reading out loud. It's better written than spoken. Every time just this happens, if you listen to this, I don't know if you're still listening. You must like this, I guess.
Seeing you squirm.
Yes. Writing things I'm so proud of and then reading them and going, ugh. But this is nice. Our next guest is what's become old hat for the women we scam into coming on Mom Cult. Yet another talented, beautiful, and kind super mom. Ugh. This one is different, though, in her enigmatic humility and the fact that Joy and I are both competitively obsessed with her. I'll start by saying Joy wins. She knew her first. She introduced her to her now husband. I was there. Though, and officiated their adorable, loved-filled wedding. Love-filled wedding.
Past tense.
Loved-filled. It was.
And they still see each other more, but she and I have worked together quite a bit. We hung more for a minute before I got pregnant, and she loves me too.
Just 4 years ago.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, it does not feel like that long ago, weirdly. I like go, what? Like I think about, it's strange. The illustrious illustrator, graphic designer, creative director, which do you like creative director or art director? I should have asked you that first. Okay.
Whatever.
Great beauty, great beauty, style icon, and effortlessly cool, funny girl. Oh, wait, that's a period. Style icon, an effortlessly cool, funny girl, wife, and oh yeah, a mom. Mackenzie K. Moore, which is it Hurl? Would you say? You say Moore.
Moore.
Okay.
Moore. Hurlbutt
was a tough
Hurlbutt's ticket. a tough one to swallow. Yeah.
There was some discussion about it being Hurl Moore for a bit. Remember, you know, or I don't
I
know.
I mean,
if y'all,
truly,
that was wasn't that your wedding hashtag?
That was our wedding Hurlmore hashtag.
And I always am like, wait, did they do that?
Moore butt would have been the other
Moore
one.
Butt.
Oh,
No, I think it would be very cool if people just made new last names, because it's a pain in the ass to change your name. I started and then I stopped. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in like an abrupt, my driver's license doesn't match my passport situation. But I decided to just stay with Moore.
Yeah.
But if he had had to do it too, it might have actually gotten done.
Right.
It's more like a paperwork situation.
Was your, the one change that you made, was it to Hurlbutt?
Yes.
Okay.
On a driver's license. And I tried to just go back and say, I've changed my mind.
You're like, like while you were there.
They said I had to get
are you sure?
A summons of divorce or a court order to change my name back.
Wow.
But I just had to have my marriage certificate to change it. I don't know.
That seems too easy, because the reason that I haven't done it, partly because I don't
you
want to.
You haven't done it?
No.
You've been married so long.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to, I guess. I mean, I think about it, and I do tell Parker, and I can tell he's really, like, some things just matter a lot to him, and I think he wants us to have the same last name, like, little semantics like that bother him, so I do, like, when I lie to him about that. This morning, as a matter of fact, as late as this morning, I did lie about that, and I thought, because I go, Massey, that's your last name. Our last name.
I don't think I knew that you never changed your last name.
I use Massey. I use it all the time.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's the same.
It is scary, though, how easily you can get yourself into a legally binding situation and how impossible it is to get out of it.
It feels like a lot of hurdles is what, but what you're saying seems like it's easy.
Just to not do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Way easier.
I mean, it sounds like you kind of did it though, right?
I dipped my toe in the water and then I stopped, but now I'm just like my bank is confused by me, you know?
Is she allowed to sign checks?
Oh,
can I give money to her? I don't.
Actually, sorry.
I don't know who she is, really. Neither does she. She also does not know.
How's your week, Sarah?
Good. My check-in is... three times now I've gotten up at 4:30 to go to yoga class at 5.
What? Are you okay?
Eric's like, are you? Because if you watch Real Housewives, if you watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, basically one of the main storylines has been like one of the main characters is getting a divorce, and her life, one of the main ways that it changed is that she was getting up at 5 a.m. She quit drinking. She used to drink like quite a bit. And then all of a sudden she's getting out at 5 a.m. and working out. And that's just a big indicator of something going on. And I'm like, okay. And I get it. She's a housewife. She does have businesses, but so that might be odd. But if you work full time, then getting up at 5 a.m. is just a way to have more
time,
bandwidth
more
in the day.
Day,
create more day.
Mm-hmm.
And
but Eric's like, are you leaving me soon? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I can tell there's a little, you know, there have been some conversation like, what's is this
just
or like some
in.
Little comments, and I'm like, okay, well, so anyway, it has made more time for us, but I've only done it 3 times.
Did you hit a crash? Like, do you have a crashing point?
Yes.
Yeah, because I have a big, when I get up early, I have a big crash at some point. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could fall asleep standing up.
I have that anyway
right now.
That's by the way like a main topic in our couples therapy. It's like 5 p.m. she's just like not the same. Now maybe that's like 4, but I do have like another hour and a half in the day that I can be present, like in the day,
yeah,
which is lucky that I mostly work from home, so that I can be more present for Parker and for Eric. So,
well, congratulations.
Hopefully,
I'm really, really, really impressed.
Even if
thank you.
It doesn't become a pattern, even if
Joy's already giving you an out,
even like,
if you never do it again, you had a great 3 days.
Well, here's the thing. My mom, I told my mom this, and she goes, yeah, I did that like 4 times once, but she had to drive, like, and I go, well, I have to do it more than that. Minimum, right. More than 4
minimum
times.
5.
Yeah. But I do think that because it's yoga and like, there's a lot of stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
By God. I've never been so determined to do something.
5
times. It was
times.
Really productive. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep doing this. She used to do that, but she also had to drive like 40 minutes to the
Anywhere.
Gym. I was like, I never knew you to go to gym. That's my check-in. There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Joy.
Follow that.
No, you go now.
No, I did my audition thing.
How's your week been? Mac?
It was good. It was good. We're doing a garden this year.
Mm.
We've decided.
Like with food?
With food. And it is going to be like $1,000 project to get, I don't know, like 3.5 cucumbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Probs?
No.
But we're like very in.
Yeah.
We're having conversations about, I don't know, like composting.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. Probably. But we're like liking the idea that we could be the sort of people who mm-hmm. would do that.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys are just, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are like always on the same page about everything. I don't understand.
Yeah. Actually, I wrote a little bit. I want to read your caption too, because it's kind of, there's like a whole thing about you it's
like
crazy.
They're just like always on board for the exact same thing.
So healthy and like attuned. Our uh-huh. therapist calls it being attuned.
Yeah.
We just spend a lot of time together.
Right, like, right.
Sure. They also have this giant dog named Merle.
Oh my
who's
God. Joy's
crazy.
Relationship with my dog is not happy.
It's not a
friendly relationship.
Well, I don't dislike him. I just am in awe that you guys
are okay.
She says something to that effect every single time she comes to my house.
Is this okay?
It's not that I don't like him. It's just that I hate him.
I don't
so
feel
much.
I feel about him similar to I feel about most pets, but he's just like, you know, he's going to be grabbing toys. He's like always getting into something and they're always yelling at him. But almost like how you're supposed to discipline your kids. You're like, well, you know, it's not you. It's the behavior. But they like give that grace to their dog as well. And that's what I'm like, where does that come from? Like you guys are annoyed, but so like you just let it roll right off.
He's like having another child and he came first. So there's like a baked in tolerance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get another dog.
How are you feeling like as a mom this week?
We have a new phase, like a new era,
mm-hmm.
which is like extreme battleground, time to change your clothes, let's have a fight. Like she just will not get out of clothes or put new clothes on. Mm-hmm. It's just her like, I'm sure it is just her figuring out like what kind of power she has.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, sussing out that she has a good deal of power.
This is working for me.
This is nice, she says, as she like curls up in a ball on the floor. So it's new. That's new. And I think...
And she turned two when?
December. The end of December. Right. But yes, she's a two-year-old doing what two-year-olds be doing, mm-hmm. I think. But... It's the first of, I'm sure, many, many chapters where she's going to be...
Pushing back.
Yeah. Having a say in the conversation for the first time. But when you're like so used to the flow of things, I think as a parent, it's like really jarring to when she violates the agreement that we have had. Where like our days flow like this. Yes.
Yes.
No. That
the flow is gone.
It feels like as soon as I get settled into understanding something, then that's
their cue
to shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the clothes thing. That's
mm-hmm.
her getting in and out of the car thing or whatever.
Yeah. Is that one fresh for
no,
you?
No. I'm just, that was like a long.
Yeah. Are you on the other side of that? You feel like?
I don't want to jinx that.
Will not speak a word.
She doesn't have manifestation power.
No, I don't. I'm just a generator. Yeah. Yes. He doesn't really fight to get in the car. And he's been like helping out and stuff. We're doing like a, you earn a toy thing with money. But then I realized like, I'm like, oh, you're not going to get paid. And I'm like, that's not maybe sounding like I want it to sound. But I will say yesterday, and I don't think it was related to the money. I don't really know exactly what it was. He had like a friend that's younger come over and he helped and maybe felt validated by that. But, or maybe he's just grown up, but he did like four things like helping. Oh, I'll get that. And he ran and got like a little table thing to sit with. Or little.
And then you just have another baby. Oops.
Right.
Because like that might be helpful.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Him helping. I'm like, oh, you can help? Oh, great.
Come help me with this newborn.
This is getting a little bit easy. We need to fuck this up. Yeah. If you're not going to, I'm going to. This chaos doesn't feel like home. Or no, lack of chaos. It was a good joke. Messed it up.
Nailing it.
Let's start at the very beginning. Did you always want to have kids?
Ooh. I think that I was always open to it, but never wanted. Like, I could never see it in my life. And then I met someone who I was like, oh, well, with him, yeah. Like, it was more about I wanted to raise a person with this person and less like I feel this strong pull to motherhood. But I had a lot of mothers in my life that I was seeing doing it well and being like open about it. I think that's like maybe what comes when you have kids a little bit later is like people have done it before you in your life. So you're not like, I think about you doing it as kind of like an island and how brave that is. And when you're doing it a little bit later, it's kind of like, no one was shocked when I told them I was pregnant.
Right.
No one was like surprised. It was time. Yeah. It was like an appropriate time.
Right. Right. It was expected as the next expected.
Oh, like you met the love of your life. Right. You got married.
Clearly you guys are going to have kids now.
You're having a baby now. Congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause y'all, how long were you married?
I think we were married for almost two years. Yeah. One of them was COVID time, which was the first time that he had ever been off the road for a consistent amount. It was like the most time we've ever spent together in our whole relationship. We still really liked each other at the end.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's a good sign.
Might as well have a kid after that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Why not?
You have, I feel like you have a fun, somewhat chaotic birth story.
Oh, yeah. Right? It was like pretty normal once we got to the hospital. But we found the house that we live in now when I was maybe like 7.5 or 8 months pregnant. It went on the market and we put in an offer. And I remember being like, this is crazy. Like, we're about to have a baby. We don't really want to move our whole life. And then we lost the house and I was like, oh, well, you know, wasn't meant to be. And then like a month later, we find out that the offer that had been accepted, it fell through. It came back to us. They asked again if we could like raise our offer or something. And we were both like, absolutely not. We have done the most. And so we lost it a second time. And I was like, definitely not meant to be. And then a third time the house comes back around. They accept our original offer. But at this point, I'm now 9 months pregnant, and we're deciding to...
And we are at your baby shower.
We are at my baby shower found out. That's right. I found out at my baby shower that we got the house. We start packing. We get moved in. The night that we move into the house, I send a very, like, self-important picture to my mother of my feet up on a table, being like, we did it. And then my water broke in the shower that night.
Now, was there any question about your water breaking? Like, were you like, was that my water breaking? Did I pee? Was that just weird shower water?
I definitely... Water? It was a different water. It was coming from the inside. It definitely was like continuing for a long time after I got out of the shower. Like, there was no question.
It's a trail.
I just like waddled down the hallway, told Kyle, you know, go time. And then we got to the hospital and you could tell that they were kind of like, first time mom, labor takes a long time. We get that you're nervous Nelly or whatever. If you want to stay, you can, but you could probably go home. And then
What?
I know. And then two hours
understand. After your water broke, isn't that like,
it seems right? So I mean,
I forgot everything about it.
I was like,
did they just not believe that your water broke?
I think
that's weird.
I mean, they had like slid a pad under me on the bed. So if they needed to know, it was still happening. That was so crazy. It was like breaking for a long time.
That's also interesting. Yeah.
Is that weird? Well, they tried to send me home and we had just, you know, our new house.
You're like, what home? Please let me stay here and not see all those boxes.
Yeah, it was like a 45-minute drive to the hospital, so Kyle was very much like, we're not going to risk that. So we ended up staying, and then she was born like 2 hours later, two and a half hours later. Insane. Like, it happened so fast after that.
Were you having contractions?
Yes.
Whenever you went in?
Yeah, like, he was timing it. Like, he had paid attention in class was, like, telling me it was definitely time to go. And I was kind of doing the like, hemming and hawing, like, I don't know if it, I don't know, maybe I need to labor a little bit longer at home. And he was like, no, the timing says it's time to go. Yeah.
What was your pain level like?
I mean, I have the same like gray, fuzzy memory of that whole thing. Yeah. I know it was bad.
Yeah.
Because I know that when my mom came in, like, she was holding my hand, and I remember telling her, like, stop touching me. Like, just everyone stop touching me. And I think that that's my general, like, pain response is to be like, everyone leave me alone. Just let me
be in pain.
Be in pain.
Let me writhe.
Let me writhe. Get out of here with that love. I cannot. And then I was open to seeing, you know, like, how far I could go. Naturally, Joy had just had a natural birth and was like,
and I said, I'll never do it again.
You were like haunted when I spoke to you, like, right after.
Yeah,
like, your face changed when you thought of it. Mm-hmm. but you did it, and you were like, I know that that was something that you will be proud of forever.
Right, right. A little badge.
You did get a little badge.
Yeah.
And I wanted, I was like open to getting the badge, right. But I wasn't like
a badge
set
badge.
The badge badge. It's still, I feel like I still get the badge
100%.
Badge. 100%. Yeah. I just didn't feel it happen because I got drugs.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Which is also a fabulous experience.
But I did still feeling it really.
I still really insisted on getting like a bathtub room.
Okay.
Did you use it?
I didn't move.
Right.
They like laid me on a bed and I had a baby on the bed. Like I brought in a ball that I was gonna like roll around.
That's ambitious though.
Yeah, I
that's
really
great.
Thought.
I was like, they were like, do you want this? And I was like, no, what are those rungs for?
I remember making like, oh, spending so much time curating a playlist and then just totally, no one remembered. No. I forgot.
I did white noise it. And I was like, if you play anything but white noise, I'm gonna freak out. If I feel anything else, I'm going to lose it.
I had a really nice playlist. I had some, like, what are those, like, scent diffusers? Because they wouldn't let me light a candle.
Right. Bottom.
Yep. I was like,
it's such
really
a,
setting the mood.
Yeah, it's such a funny, like, those last couple weeks or whatever, when you really have, you've done, it's like this luxury to be like, oh, I'm going to think about all these little details that I'm going to make just perfect. It's like, it's such a symbol of like, oh man, you still have no idea what's about to happen.
Because it's like, it feels like it's the only thing you can control in this situation that is like legitimately scary. Yeah. Like if I could just bring a little candle, just a
maybe
little something. Yeah, but I got the good drugs and I had a great time after that.
And so, since then,
I think I was really afraid of the drugs, like making me feel really disconnected or something from my birth experience. And I don't know how much of that came from me. Like, I don't know how much I thought that was the case or how much people told me that was going to be the case. But either way, I was kind of like, well, if I could go all the way natural, then I'll really be present. And then truly it was the opposite for me, where the pain was keeping me from being present with my husband and being present with my family that was there to support me. And like the second the pain wasn't an issue, then I could like
enjoy.
Yeah. Like talk to him and see that he was excited. Like I could actually see what was happening in the room. And I like said some stupid druggy stuff when they laid the baby on me, probably. But I do remember the actual experience with a like glowy warmth instead of how I was feeling prior to the drugs, which was everyone get away from me.
Were you super emotional at her birth?
Not really. I mean, yes, I remember like feeling the gravity of it, but I don't know that it was, maybe it was coming from the place of like, I hadn't always pictured myself as a mother, that it like, you know, it took her becoming a person for me to understand my role. Mm-hmm. Like the older she gets, the more I'm like, there is almost nothing I wouldn't do for you. But I don't know that that like just clicks in mm-hmm. for everyone right the second they hand them to you. For me, it was like, I felt the bigness of the moment more than I felt the like
connection specifically mm-hmm. to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's similar to how I felt too. I feel like it was a while before it was like, I had to like, when she became more aware and when she looked at me like I was her mom, I was like, oh my God, I'm your mom. But it took me like seeing that from her, like her giving me that role.
Yeah. Or like hearing someone call you that mm-hmm. still is wild. Kyle talks about it all the time. Like she calls me dad. I am forever this person for her. And it's funny how, I don't know, we all had parents. Now we all are parents. And that's just like,
it's weird.
A thing that doesn't feel like comfortable in your mouth sometimes saying it.
Yeah. I think I remember having, I was working at the reception desk of the nail lounge after Ava was born, and somebody, I don't know, like I was talking to a customer and I just ended up saying the sentence like my daughter or something. And it was the first time I think I'd said it, because everyone up until that point I knew, or they knew I was a mom, or they already knew me or her. And it felt so weird saying it out loud. So foreign.
Yeah, I still feel like if I'm explaining something to someone, I'm like, yeah, my kid. It feels like clumsy, and like I'm like, am I lying?
Is this right? I'm like still like just
am I bragging?
Just like faking it. Yeah,
am I making this up?
I think I am. But even with now, I feel like I'm hitting a new wave of that with Ava, just because she's like my size.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, if she's this old, then that means I have to be this old, and that doesn't really make any sense. I feel like the same age as when she was
born. She's very grown
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't think that any of us are cool anymore, and that is a change for me.
I know.
I feel like when I pictured being a parent, I always pictured a, like, 3 or 4 year old person. Like, I almost never pictured a newborn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not fun.
Everyone just blacks it out.
Yeah, they're like too small.
You're really cute, but you're a little too small for me to play with.
Yeah, but they have to be, I guess, that vulnerable so we don't just like forget them or whatever.
Like the nightmare of nightmares, though. I've nightmare that I forget her all the time, or that I've like forgotten that she exists, mm-hmm. or that I give her to someone that forgets she exists.
I had a rental car recently, and the last thing that it says on the like screen is check your back seat. And I think that's what that's for.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, you're not thinking somebody's going to murder me. You're thinking I forgot my kid.
You know what? Either way.
Yeah. Either way. Helpful. You,
yeah. Let's just check it for multiple reasons.
Check it.
Could be anything
seat.
Back there.
Is the hardest thing right now, which I read this thing the other day and I can't remember it. It said basically like, don't say, it was like, it was another thing yelling at me on Instagram about something I do, but it was like, don't say things are hard, and I haven't been able to find it again. I know I liked it. I'm like, did I save it? But anyway, so if I'm not supposed to say that, whatever, but it's the hardest thing. I don't remember what it said. What thing? What's the biggest struggle? What do you hate the most? I'm sorry. Is it her getting dressed? Is it the clothes thing? I mean, she seems pretty angelic. I know every kid is like.
I think the like bigger thing with the clothes thing mm-hmm. right now is just the. I think Joy even maybe said something about it already, but like they just change. They change real fast. And so you get your feet under you and you're like, I got it. I know that this is the routine, and we have a bottle, and then you go to bed, and then they stop taking a bottle, and then your routine changes. And then for a while, it's like will I get it back? Oh, like, can I figure out how to get this like groove mm-hmm. back? And then you do. And that's maybe the thing that I'm learning is that it passes and you get a new routine and then that one will change too.
Well, it may be a little, it slows, it just gets longer stints
at
different time periods and every kid's different, but longer stints. And then also like getting used to that more, just like being more prepared for that.
Or like she is changing and that's okay. And it is not, it's not reflective of my parenting that she's having like a real hard time taking this coat off right now. That one feels fresh.
Real personal.
Because that one is fresh.
That's funny. It's usually putting on a coat for us, but I've let it go. Our doctor said, don't. I've actually talked about that for a long time. Don't fight him. Just let him. He won't freeze to death. It's okay. And I'm like, will he? Won't he? But he says he won't. So let it go.
I'm second time around trying to be quicker at recognizing this isn't going back to what it was. So you need to do whatever you need to do. Be angry for a couple days, whatever you want, and then accept that this is the new reality. But I don't want to. I really don't want to. Those changes are so, they're just so hard for me. I'm so resistant to just navigating something else and then just feeling resentful. So trying to work on accepting it quicker, like just go, just like let myself be angry, but let's just get, just go through the motions and just do them sooner instead of drawing it out. Mm. Not that like that's always in my control, but
like expedite the anger.
Yeah.
Expedite the rage.
Let's just almost instead of like fight. Yeah. Instead of like trying to keep a lid on it. Sometimes if I can just like let myself get it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I can usually get to the side of acceptance a little bit faster.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I talk to myself in the car a lot.
When I'm out loud?
Alone, yeah.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Angry. I write it down or I do like a voice thing.
Yeah.
To my journal. Don't ever send me a voice text.
Oh, that I'm glad to know that. You hate it.
That is new to me. My hatred for it.
Wow.
Why?
I think it's because I get them from clients and they have like revisions in them and then they disappear and there's no like written record of it.
You can do keep. You can keep it,
but if you don't like keep it fast enough, they just
like
fart away.
Yeah, they do fart away.
Yeah. It depends though. It depends. It's fully mood based actually because I don't mind them, but if they're long, but I will send a long one and I want you to listen to mine, but I don't
really
necessarily want to listen to yours. Depending, I will listen to them, but how they like stack up and then it's like play all three. I'm like, what? Where's the third one?
Maybe I would like them from friends. Maybe this is just a triggering subject from clients.
It makes it specific.
Getting at the car wash. Honk. Beep, beep, look at the car wash. Did you know that Sarah and I both work at a car wash? Isn't that exciting? And also so odd. And it's called Camel Express Car Wash, and an incredible company. And they're making some changes to their
offerings. Our top wash will now include this thing that's called graphene. And this is real. These are real facts, okay, about graphene. It won a Nobel Prize, this material. Uh-huh. It's thinner than an atom and is being used in car washes. And it's like a wax coating, and it can adhere to all the surfaces of your cars in a way that like wax has never been able to before. And it's incredibly thin, but also incredibly strong. So it protects and repels water. And because it's so thin, it makes your car look like brighter and shinier than like it even does regularly. Mm-hmm. It's like really interesting, cool stuff. So that is the top wash. So you can come to Camel Express Car Wash and you can use code MOMCULT to get a free top wash, their best wash. It's called The Best. And that will include this graphene product. And you can try that for free by texting code MOMCULT to 30400. And you can try that new product, graphene, today.
I'm excited to try it.
Wow, me too.
How has your, because like many moms we have on here, all have either jobs that are creative or have creative endeavors outside of their work, but you know, we talk a lot about the juggling of the modern mom, and how has that kind of played out for you? Has it been pretty consistent since she was born? Has it shifted? And do you find the time that you need for work? I mean, obviously you find the time you need to get the things done that you have to get done. Are you able to find time for yourself?
Ooh, phrase like that. No.
Can I say for context that it's like from the outside, it appears that your career has exploded since you had a kid. So I feel like you're very, very busy. It looks that way.
Well,
and I'm not asking you if you're very busy. I'm saying you are busy or you have a lot of work. So I'm just saying how are you doing that?
For the longest time, I was like so weird about not telling any client that I have a kid.
Mm.
Like this.
That's right. You didn't even tell anybody you were pregnant, did you?
No. I was actively working on like one of my biggest projects of all time. And I was so terrified that they would find out, because I thought their perception would be like, oh, there goes her availability. And I was just like so scared to have the word like mother associated with me professionally, mm-hmm. that I like went out of my way to not talk about it, which probably made it weirder. But like, I realized I do this magazine, and I was talking to the editor, and I mentioned having to take my daughter to a doctor's appointment or something. And she goes, you have a kid? And at this point, James was like almost two. And I realized I really should have probably said something sooner. Like, obviously it wasn't an issue. I never noticed.
That's amazing.
But what was I even talking about?
What did that feel like to feel scared about?
Oh, yeah.
Saying that.
Well, to me, it must have just been like all my perception of mothers in business or something. Like, I don't know what I was bringing to it. I didn't need to project that on clients. But I try to not use the excuse of like anything related to my kid if I'm behind on something. Like, I just try to not let that be an issue for a client.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my way of combating this perception that I had of mothers in business, is to be like, well, at least for me,
keep them separate.
I need to keep it separate. And I think it has helped me. But I was at a meeting with someone who I really wanted to work with. And it was me and the artist and their manager. And their manager was talking about a graphic designer that they had on staff. And they were like really not happy with their work. And then he went on to say something like, but he has two kids at home. And I just really think that like that's why he's turning in like crap work. And I'm realizing I've never told this person that I have kids or a kid, and that I am like, that should have been a major like red flag for me,
right.
that was something he was saying. But I was realizing that he was just like vocalizing what maybe I had thought beforehand, that like,
yeah,
people with kids are just so distractible or
unreliable
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. But honestly, it's kind of been an asset. Like, it forces me to have this really regular work schedule. I have rigid amounts of time where I have childcare. I've like begged or borrowed time from my husband where I'm like, okay, you watch her this morning, like kind of a barter system, mm-hmm. and then we'll swap. So I just have like finite amounts of time that I have to work within. Whereas before, I just like fucked around and would find time for work late at night or early in the morning, mm-hmm. or
whenever, you know, it works for you.
Whenever it worked for me. And now it's like, I have to accomplish tasks in a time period because that's all I get.
Right.
And it's actually been kind of an asset in a funny way. I was so scared of it though.
Right. It's made you more efficient, you feel?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And you realize how much in the creative world, like how much of the heavy labor of creative work is the ideating, like thinking of an idea by, I don't know, looking at a book that has illustrations from a long, long time ago, and maybe that sparks something. So there's work that you can do not sitting in front of your computer or whatever, mm-hmm. that I'm finding I can do with her,
mm-hmm.
like while I'm watching her. So
right. Or like just, yeah, the situations that having a kid might put you in can provide their own inspiration.
Yeah, like when would I have ever gone
like pick dandelions to the zoo on the side like of the road or
15 times a month before? But I see a lot of animals now, and I have a ton of illustration references in my phone that I took at the zoo. You know, who knows? Yeah.
I've definitely found that like having a kid equally has provided such massive obstacles, like just daily obstacles, that it's also shown me how capable I am.
Right.
When put into a corner and going, okay, we've taken away a lot of options and a lot of freedom. And I like that becoming a mom has made me have to think more creatively and more outside the box to get things that I need.
Like an escape room.
So when I was like, are you finding time for yourself? And you were like, phrased like that, no. Are you okay without that right now? Are you kind of waiting until it's something that you really need? Are you getting stir crazy in that area? You feel like...
No, I mean, it definitely feels like if there are set hours in the day and there's a set amount of hours that I have to be with my child, get to be with my child.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And then a set amount of hours that I have to do whatever I want to do, right now work is the priority. And so, I don't know, I'd rather sneak like an extra hour on a project than exercise.
Right.
Do something that would just solely like probably benefit me, make me feel better. It also makes me feel better to check things off of my professional to-do list. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think I am getting filled up by doing the work stuff in those moments.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like I don't feel any like resentment towards not having the, it still feels like personal time.
Yeah.
To me right now. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask, if your job, because it is obviously what you love to do, if there's still enough creativity in it that it doesn't feel just like a job, but
no, it's like
the playtime.
It's like the job that I, like if I could have written it on a piece of paper for myself and sent it into the ether to make it happen, it's like exactly what I always hoped I would be doing. So in a lot of ways, when I sneak away to do work, it's like so fulfilling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me time.
Mm-hmm. I love the creation moment, and I begrudgingly will do the finishing that comes after, where it's like, I love sending a presentation of like, here's all the things it could be. And then I get a little bit less excited when it's like refining it. Although still thrilled to be turning in work and finishing projects and stuff. Like I know that that's part of the job. You don't just get to like fart out ideas.
Right. It's fine.
And just like let those, you know, be slam dunks. Like maybe once a year someone will be like, perfect, that's the one with no revision.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That sounds great.
I like over the course of the last few years have kept going, I can't take more, like less and less and less anything that I like outside of Camel, that where we work. And just recently took a thing. But the point is, I did some sketches and it was like the least directions really ever. But a lot of my reference was your, it was a lot of your stuff. And I kept going, don't call her and ask her just like what exactly she would do. Just don't. And I'm like, just try to guess what she would do and then do it like she would do it. And I'm like, this is...
Just be her.
What would she do? She would make it like...
Is that squiggly. Why I'm here today?
That's what I was going to say. I think,
I was like, really, hey, why don't we have her...
You know what would be great?
Sketchbook that's open. It's like... You could
just lay it
put
out
your
on
John
the side.
Hancock right here. But yeah, you should... Or... It's at Mackenzie K Designs, and you should look at her stuff. It's just so good. It's all so good. Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it. This you get a. I,
yeah, it's your, yeah. It's your inbox full.
Right.
Of
you have
voice
a person.
Messages.
You
have all farted into the wind.
You have a person now that you filter those things through. So can she say no for you?
I do. I think that having my relationship with my manager, who is new to my life, has changed my life. She presents things to me very like fairly, like does this sound fun, not like this one can't pay very much, or you know, like it's really just a matter of does this make you feel like you'd want to be involved for a while, because sometimes projects take months and years and you just really want to like understand who you're partnering
getting
with.
Getting into bed with.
I was going to say it that way, and yeah. I didn't know if that was like, ick.
That's why I did it for you.
Cozy up with mm-hmm, my mm-hmm, client. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like having someone in your corner when you're a creative who's used to being like just completely grossed out by the idea of having a money conversation or a timeline conversation or like saying the word deliverables is like uncomfortable. I don't know. Having someone to have those conversations and who feels very at ease having those conversations lets me literally just do the part that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that even answers your question at all about...
It's technically Sarah's question.
Technically.
The Sarah by proxy
joy question. I think that answers it because it's like, you don't have to say no. She's saying no if you're right. saying no.
Yeah, I just pass the buck.
Yeah.
I have a professional buck passer.
That's nice. I want that.
Me too. Hey, Mackenzie, what you feel guilty about?
Is that a real one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the questions we ask. Oh, wow. I'm sorry that happened.
That was a nice
I knew that glass,
glass
was going to gonna get you in the end.
I have some, like, guilt that I have let go. I'm in the process of just letting it go finally. And it harkens back to the breastfeeding phase.
Mm-hmm.
I did not produce a lot of milk. And I know your experience with it. I don't know your experience, Sarah. But for me, it was like the more stressed out you get, the harder it is to make milk, and it's just this cyclical thing, and you feel super helpless. And especially as a new mom, you're just like, I have one job,
right?
You know? My job is to keep you alive, and I am not
inadequate.
I am not doing my part. So I feel like for the longest time, I was just like super resentful. Anytime I would hear of any woman who was stockpiling all of their excess fucking milk machine factory worker, like she just had so much milk and I could not provide that. So this instant competition that I would feel with women
mm-hmm.
who were doing really well and something that I was failing in. And I don't really know where that like comes from, but I have since been able to look at James and be like, she's empathetic. She is kind. She is funny. She is growing like normal. Like all of the things that you associate with, I don't know, that's just the earliest measure of how you're doing as a mom. Is that like,
yeah.
How's breastfeeding going?
How's breastfeeding going?
Yeah.
And it, I don't know. That was just like something that I was doing to myself, mm-hmm. like a standard that I was holding myself too. And I remember Kyle just being like, how about we just get her fed and then you can see if that eases your anxiety. Like, let's try formula so that you can stop carrying this burden by yourself. Right. And I do think that, you know, it also helped him get, now I'm like reverse justifying it, being like, also he got to get involved in the feedings and that was something that helped him bond with her early.
Which is true.
But yeah, I think I'm letting it go. Like,
yeah.
Good.
Isn't that crazy how long
it took a long time.
That can take to let go, even though.
And there's still the like knee jerk, like, fuck you, when someone is doing really well.
Yeah, when you see those like Coke, like when they use the Coke, they've got so many, they don't even have enough.
Somebody come pick up these. Somebody come pick up this milk.
They've just got, you need some. They've got like bought a new deep freeze for it. And. The Coke containers, they like line them up because they just need more. They can't even buy enough of those plastic things that they put them in.
They don't even sell boxes big enough.
Uh-huh.
I used Shannon's milk for, I don't know how long she was giving me some. And I originally was just like, I just needed like a starter pack.
Yeah.
I needed a backup supply so that I could start pumping and make my own supply so that I could do anything outside of like an hour and a half span without having to breastfeed again. And I still couldn't do it. I mean, I would just like watch the freezer bags disappear.
Yeah.
And one day it would be like going through five or six bags. And I just, the panic of like, I cannot keep up. And like, when is this going to end? And like, it's like this train that I can't, oh my gosh.
That he ate so much. And I was like,
I would find myself trying to save them.
Yes, I was. I was like, only give him three a day.
Yeah. And then I'm like, this is crazy. Like, they should just be able to eat however much they want.
Well, and I remember it being like really hard for me not knowing how much she was getting mm-hmm. when it was just breastfeeding. So I really thought my solution was going to be pumping. Like that it would give me peace of mind to see how much she's eating. But then the pumping would take like 30 minutes per boob. And then wasn't getting a ton.
And then as soon as you're done, you're like, I'm supposed to pump again or feed, but I've just pumped.
It was,
I can't.
Anyways, I don't dislike women who can pump a lot now. I'm just really happy for them officially on record. I really am so happy for you.
Congrats.
Now I mostly just like hate recipe bloggers who make recipes that call for like half an onion. I don't want to put half an onion in a Ziploc bag and put it back in my fridge. That I would rather die.
That's what I love about Blue Apron so much is that I use every single ingredient that I'm given.
Are you sponsored?
I would.
We should be.
Yeah, the no waste feels pretty amazing to be like, I'm going to take these things out of my fridge. I'm going to cook all of them. We're going to eat all of it. And then there's nothing left in the fridge.
And you didn't have to like find out that it's her mother-in-law's favorite dish.
Yeah.
Like an absolutely ridiculously long story to get to the recipe.
I cannot handle how many swipes scrolls. You have to do to get to trick? Like put oven at 425. Yeah. I'm like, just like, where's
and then like a pop up ad?
Do you know
what is wrong with you?
Do you go to Reader View?
Wait, what?
What's that?
Do you do it?
No. Like, I'm writing it down.
You block all the pictures and it just gives you the text.
That's what
so
I mean.
Then you skip
that,
most of
like
all
a
that
button
stuff.
That you push that does that?
This thing, the little letter. So if you open your browser mm-hmm. and then what is this?
It's
this
like
is,
a visual.
This is just reason someone becomes a serial killer. That's what's up on my thing. So
you're asking for Parker.
No. Well, there's like, we make a joke about that because he's like, you know, I've talked to other moms with boys and they do say that this is that they hear that too. I don't know if they're just being nice, but there's just a lot of like death talk. And the other day when one of the great things that Eric made was wings that were amazing. And Parker was like standing over him going, is there bones in there? Can I see the bones? Do you want to pull? And I'm like, geez, Jeffrey, just stop. I'm kidding. He's not that. He's so sweet and empathetic and kind. And he's kind to animals, especially small animals, whatever. He's not a serial killer. Eric, so really why I looked it up, the truth is that Eric said he was like listing something that he read. And it was like three things. And one of them was like something to do with the mother. And I'm like, what about the father, though? So literally at 4:30, this is very vulnerable. But at 4:40 on the way to
yoga
this morning, that came into my mind. And I got upset about it. And I go, what the fuck was that? What did he say? Mother, like what? The mom? There's like four things. And one of them is the mother in some way. I didn't find that. I'm sure that's there. That is hurtful. So how you do Reader View is to press these letters. That's all the questions.
I know. We could do like a funny story before Pop Culture Corner. But sometimes that's hard to think of.
Yeah.
Like it's hard.
Tell us something funny.
Tell us a funny story about your kid.
I mean, I had my first mortifying child.
Ooh, even better.
We'll take it.
Yes.
Go on.
Let's see. A few weeks ago, James was having like she was doing the most kind of morning. Like she was grumpy and nothing was helping. And so I thought we could like reset her by taking her in public.
Distract her.
Let's just like go to a coffee shop with this extremely upset person. And that will probably go pretty well. So we went to Dose in Old Hickory and we're standing in line and it's a Saturday and there's just like never been more people in this building. And I'm talking, we had bumped into our friend. So we're like chatting in line and James begins for the first time in her whole life to just projectile vomit everywhere. Aww. On humans, on surfaces. I'm sprinting to the bathroom. She's still throwing up on people. And so I am hiding in the bathroom at Dose, just like unable to think about facing a room full of people that my child has just vomited on. And Kyle pops his head in, says there's a back door. We sneak out, and I'm sitting in the car with the baby who doesn't feel well, and waiting and waiting and realizing that Kyle has stayed and ordered lattes in this chaotic mess that our family has created in this lovely coffee shop. Like, I literally couldn't even think about looking those people in the eye.
Yeah, because they would have to, they have to clean it. Like, it's the, like, yeah,
like the
you don't
staff
have the stuff. Yeah.
Would have, is on all fours out in the floor of this coffee shop. I don't know, like, what Kyle is made of that he was able to just, like,
breeze through that.
Wait. In that just situation. Like, I, every time we go to that coffee shop, I'm like, I think I changed my hair before I went back.
That's why you've got orange hair.
I had to get rid of
the evidence.
Like, I couldn't risk being recognized.
It's such a horrible feeling, and it's combined with all the other feelings of, like, my kid isn't feeling well.
Like, why did I bring this unwell child into public? Like, what part of me didn't recognize that that's why she was being the most, is that she was, like, not feeling
good. Right. Well, now you know.
He doesn't throw up much, but he's done that a couple of times. And one time was at the wedding of Eric's brother that we went to Mexico for. And he was the ring bearer. And, like, a couple hours before, he got just horrible, you know, diarrhea. Sorry. And
other way to say it.
No other way. And just felt so bad. And then he gets there and then throws up, like, all over the place. It was so sad. And then he was just, like, sleeping during it. And then he was like, so, it's so pretty. And now he, like, loves weddings. He, like, liked them before, but now he really does. And I'm like, oh, he's so sweet. So, like, can I say, I just want to make it clear that Eric wasn't suggesting that Parker is a serial killer. The reason why, it was just, like, a conversation about serial killer qualities that he has that are funny, and we were joking, and then he was like, yeah, I mean, I think it's like these four things, and one of them's like this and this and, like, the mom, and I'm like, what of the four things, there's the mother is involved in this, it's like only the mom, not the parents, not the, anyway.
Are you guys hungry?
Yeah,
I am.
It's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
I'm thinking about, like, some bagels, some schmears, maybe some pasta.
Yeah.
I bet they've got other stuff now that we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. Fine
and
goods.
I bet it's all really, really good.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Mr. Aaron's Goods.
Yes. Locally owned, all very involved, and everything is fresh and good and wonderful and incredibly quick to prepare meals that you can pick up in East Nashville at TKO. Is it Monday through Friday? I'm not going to get their hours right, but you should look them up on Mr. Aaron's Goods. It's MRAARONSGOODS.com. And you can use code MOMCOLD for 20% off your order at MrAaron'sGoods.com.
You guys are on your own for Pop Culture Corner, because I know nothing of the reality shows that that you guys watch.
You have not ever watched Vanderpump Rules, or you know nothing of Scandaval?
How did you escape?
That has to have made it into your
cultural phenomenon.
If I've heard of any of it, it's because of you.
Oh, can I do that 1 minute? I think I've not gotten to do that in so long. Okay.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it's better.
So you have one minute to
explain Vanderpump Rules.
Of what you guys are about to talk about.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
All right, ready, go.
Okay. There's a girl named Sheena, and she had an affair with Brandy Glanville's husband, who was Brandy Glanville is a character on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They made a spinoff show with Lisa Vanderpump, who was also on Beverly Hills at that time, and that show's called Vanderpump Rules. And fast forward like 9 seasons, there's like this social juggernaut that was like in the toilet. It was probably going to get canceled, and then this guy Tom Sandoval. I'm not going to run him down, but.
That's a whole nother
I'm saying
minute.
Way before any of this happened. He was like a beloved couple, he and his girlfriend Ariana, and they we're like one of the main couples on this show that, and it's all these people that work in a restaurant that Lisa Vanderpump owns. That's why it's called Vanderpump Rules. And it's like, you know, people in the service industry and not to like, I mean, I know not, I'm just saying like young people in the service industry and in LA, they probably, you know, are like doing drugs and acting crazy. And she, and then this last season, it's my dad's hunting dogs. I made this ring for him and then I accidentally made it my timer. And now I just like kind of love hearing it and people ask about it.
You did such a bad job.
Is up.
But a good job, like a really thorough.
Wait, but let me get to the skin-a-ball part. Then I can say, give me 30 seconds to say. He began having an affair with a girl named Raquel. Her real name's Rachel, who has dated another person on the show. And they kept it a secret the whole time. And then, like, the story
broke. Like, for nine seasons, kept it a secret?
No, like, this last season.
For an amount of time.
For, like, a weird amount of time.
That would be, like, crazy if you were being filmed.
Right.
Professional.
And no one had any suspicions until.
Not really.
They got, like, found, seen, maybe
right.
once.
Yeah.
But leading up to that.
Like maybe a best friend sort of knew, but mostly not. And then people were sort of asking questions because they were all really close. The girl that he had an affair with was the best friend of his partner of 9 years. And they owned a home. You know, he and Ariana owned a home together, whatever. Well, Raquel, Rachel became, or like they had this affair and it was all really secret. But yeah, what did you ask?
I think I just asked like, They did a good job at keeping it hidden for a long time.
I think Lisa like paid them to do this because her show was gonna get hard canceled.
Was gonna ask how much of it do we think is real?
Well, because there was one season, like a few years ago, when a bunch of their popular cast members got let go in a like super scandal laden racism.
Thing.
Situation. And so the show got almost unwatchable for a little bit because every single character that you even knew was gone.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch it at all.
And then I started watching again because of the scandal thing.
Right. Yeah, and it was insane.
It was good TV though.
Because we knew what was happening because the story broke publicly about the affair happening, but the show had already been filmed, so you could watch this stuff happen. You can see them lying. You can see all the things happen. They had already like done most of the editing. They went back and re-edited some things to like highlight really messed up stuff. But it was so wild to see because things like this happen in like, you know, maybe not commonly around us, but occasionally something like that might happen. But you wouldn't have every single detail documented. It was just crazy to see.
And then this season, you can tell that the woman who was wronged is like, she's like, it's honestly like maybe the best thing that's ever happened to her.
Yes, like career-wise.
Career-wise, doing fantastic. Like kind of she's outpacing her castmates. Like she maybe doesn't even belong anymore. But you can tell that the only thing that this show has left is this like contention between this character that wronged someone and the person who was wronged and their friends supporting them respectively. Mm-hmm. And so they keep forcing them together, like the producer, like you can like feel the hand of the producer being like,
really
invite him to the beach.
Yeah. And they would like never, ever be together in real life.
Never be together.
Because it's, by the way, 3 months after this happened.
She just hates him so viscerally. And it's like, fantastic television because like I've never ever been able to say the mean thing in the moment. Like I can type it out later though and then delete it because I could never actually send it, but she can like
they all say it in the moment, but especially her. Yeah.
Like it feels like a machine now, like they're just trying to capitalize on it, but the realness of the actual affair was
crazy.
Delicious. It was so I am ashamed of how much I enjoyed watching it.
It was incredible TV. It really was. Cause you don't, I mean, I don't know if I have I probably do somewhere in my mind, but I don't know if I can deliver the words properly, but psychologically, sociologically watching that particular instance and not just them, but just people, something like that in a friend group, someone having an affair with a best friend and that unfolding in that way and watching them lie about it. I understand getting pleasure from that is kind of psychotic, but like it was
like watching his fall was, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, also his life is like kind of sad now. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that so that's kind of. But also that's uncomfortable now to watch. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, and the whole
and his
cast,
acting, all this stuff now this season's like,
ugh. Yeah, he's doing like scream therapy.
And you like, get to oh, and you get to watch his thing. Therapy
so
sessions.
Then, yeah, Eric. So I do breath work, oh. And I don't, it does not look like that. But I was like, yeah, and it's like this. It's so he's so cringy. Just he was way before this. He was so like very cringy for me.
They've also like weaponized therapy talk.
Oh.
Mm.
Like the sort of people that would say something at you that you couldn't argue with because it's like through the lens of a therapy.
No, I think it's mine.
Oh, I think I might do that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I probably do that. But not, they're not to like, say it's not a horrible person thing.
No, but they're
is.
Like not getting better as people. They're just learning the language.
Yeah. Yeah. Lala is though.
Is she?
Oh, you don't think so?
I don't know. She's being like really rough on Ariana, trying to make her like move on, saying that
yeah.
that it's not good for her to hold on to this resentment. And it's like,
it's been like 3 months.
Yeah, you
yeah,
can
she's
hold
being
on to
a little
that.
Pushy. Totally. I agree with that. I do agree with that.
But yeah. I think that that's what I mean when I say you feel the producer's hand. Like, I think she's been told to pressure her into some situations where he will be there.
Yeah.
Being like, just get over it. Like, don't let him affect your life.
Right.
Knowing keep living that it's your gonna... life, but like knowing that it's going to keep
trigger her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, Lala's doing like the producer's work, which is her job. And also, she's about to have another baby on her own. So
I know.
She's just got to make the money.
Damn. She looks really good.
Yeah.
That was not the does. Kind of pregnant I was.
You looked amazing in comparison to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was good.
I'm just glad we got to hang out.
Yeah.
Was everything just like real repeaty?
You mean repeating like what other
like
moms
every
have said?
Other mom. Yeah. Does
no.
everyone kind
there's
of
always
have this,
like crossover, yeah. but it's not, but that's one of the things that's
is it like
compelling.
Yeah. It's nice that everyone does it.
Different versions mm-hmm. of the same experience no one, and everybody has like unique stuff, but
no one has talked about wanting to hide that you are
yeah,
pregnant
or that
you're or that you are a mom in regards to how it would change your professional mm-hmm. relationships.
Doesn't it ever like get in the way or you just are you're determined to not let it interfere?
It gets in the way, but I
you just don't say that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like I think I would stay up until 2 a.m. working at night, knowing that I'm gonna be like paying for that the next day. I'd rather do that to get caught up than like acknowledge the reason why I'm behind.
Yeah, I will not give the excuse. Like it's very rare that I'll actually say it because I do have that feeling of like, I don't know, that feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Are we supposed to not have that feeling? Like, are we?
Like that we're leaning on it and are leaning on being a mother as like the excuse for not being able to accomplish
yeah,
every
there
single
seems
thing.
Some like shame or embarrassment
yeah.
or like it yeah. isn't our number one.
Yeah, it's got to be like, rooted
role
in
life. Just even the feeling that you would need to skirt around that as an excuse or
right.
whatever is like.
Like I don't think that my husband is feeling that.
Right.
When he has to say like. Oh, our nanny is only on Monday and Wednesday, so mm-hmm. I can only work. Like, when he says those things, I don't know that for him it has the same subtext
weight.
Or
totally.
Something mm-hmm. that it has for me when I say it. And not that anyone is even perceiving it that way. I think
right.
it's just, like, very much me wanting to control how I'm perceived.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I am a consummate professional, and I will
right.
always meet my deadlines, and you don't have to worry about that. Like, you don't have to think about me being a mother when you think about hiring me. I think that's like something that I've tried to control and I don't know why. I don't know why I think that that's important.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the fact that that's a natural response to go, let me...
Like put that out
this
of the
isn't just pretend this
awareness.
Isn't part... Yeah.
Well, I think... I'm in the back of my mind because I'm thinking about my mom who needed to be the consummate mother, also doing the deadlines, also looking great, also covering all the bases and that... was really hard on her and some things for herself, you know, fell off the map. But what you seem to be doing is finding balance in that. And maybe that's a remnant of that fear, you know, that we, or that not fear, that putting the pressure on ourselves as mothers and that belief, like women can, you know, I can't mm-hmm. Sing, but I mean, I could if I was braver, because I could do it great. I can hear it in my head, and I know I can do it, but that sisters are doing it for the, can you sing it?
I don't know what song you're talking about.
From First Wives Club. You know, the best part, where they all like,
the whisper,
you
don't own me.
I know, I said.
Don't say
no.
That is the one. Boy. That is
the main
one
moment.
From First Wives Club. That, no, yeah, perfect, that is perfect, perfect, yeah.
What song, yeah, are you talking about? Or is it like,
there was a time. We used to say, every great man's gotta be a great woman. Sisters are doing it for themselves.
I think she knew what song, and I think
I
she
really
needed
didn't,
you.
But I'm glad that I didn't.
Did you get the song?
It.
Do you know what I mean now? Okay, thanks. Anyway, okay, you get it. All right, thank you. This is gripping content, but
no, right? You can follow Mackenzie at, is it just Mackenzie Designs or Mackenzie K Designs?
Right? Oh no, I should
no,
know.
Do you
Mackenzie
have a
K Designs?
Mackenzie K Moore.
Mackenzie K Moore.
Sorry,
it me.
Anyway, if you follow her, you'll get to see all the cool stuff she's been doing. Lots of cool stuff.
You can follow us at Mom Cult Podcast, and you can listen at themomcult.com,
uh-huh,
or anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yes. Thanks for being here, Mackenzie.
Thanks
love
for
you.
Having me.
You did
you.
It.
I did
you
it.
You did it. Great job.
I forgot to say that Mackenzie did our logo, and that we need to like that she did our logo, because
she did
Mackenzie? Our logo.
I should have, that should have been in the intro.